And welcome back to In Focus, Brady Bowman in for Kathy Dawes. 9:23 on this Tuesday morning here with Riley County Commissioner Ben Wilson and County Councilor Clancy Holman. Any questions, comments you have for these guys, feel free to give us a call and we'll put you on air, 785-537-1350. And gentlemen, we were just talking about some legislative issues and touched on a lot of things like home rule. Another thing that we kind of talked about over break was concealed carry and some of the issues involved with that. And this is different than what K-State and campuses are talking about. Similar sort of issues, but on different grounds in a lot of ways.
I think that's accurate, Brady. And the reason being is we have the county made the decision some time ago with the end of the exemption that allowed public buildings to say they were off limits to concealed carry. That ends July 1st.
And that meaning that, like, when you walk up to a building and you see the little sign in the glass with the gun and the strike through.
Yeah. You see the semi-automatic pistol
right.
with the strike through, the Ghostbusters strike through.
Right.
Indicates no concealed carry. Those are going to, those won't all disappear. The choice, as we talked about a little bit during the break, and Commissioner Wilson is absolutely correct, the decision that has to be made by whoever has that building, that public building, whoever is in control of it, are you going to leave that in place? Are you going to restrict concealed carry beginning July 1st? Because if you do, you have to have security measures in effect, and they're very specific. You have to have personnel. You have to have screening devices. You have to have that in place, and only then can you restrict concealed carry. If you aren't willing to do that, if you aren't willing to put those screening devices and and have whatever staff is necessary to screen anybody who enters the building, then you have to take that sign down. You cannot restrict concealed carry.
So if you do allow concealed carry, you don't need metal detectors and those sort of things.
Absolutely. If you simply take the sign down, if your public building had the sign up restricting concealed carry, just remove the sign, don't add those additional security measures in the language of the statute, I believe. I didn't think to bring that with me, but it's very specific phrase, and you have to meet that definition, and the definition is very clear that you have to have electronic screening, you have to have necessary personnel, and you can't pick one entrance to the building and have that in place. You've got to make a real effort to restrict anybody from carrying concealed in the building. And that's the whole purpose of that. Now, the maybe less obvious part of that restriction is if you're going to do that, it's a budgetary impact and pretty significant. You have to be willing to incur those costs if you're going to restrict concealed carry. And the commission made the decision that the primary building within the county that's going to apply, that they're going to have the screening devices, is at the county courthouse. The chief judge came in and on more than one occasion talked to the commissioners, gave some great information that the kind of cases that go on in the county courthouse are sometimes extremely emotional, and there's, you know, for example, there are custody cases, various divorce cases, that kind of thing, and because of the volatile emotional environment of those cases, it made sense to restrict and deny concealed carry in that building. So the commission accepted that responsibility.
And we do have a caller. Caller, you are on In Focus.
If I understand you correctly, a president says you can't carry concealed or open into the courthouse or any of those county buildings. Now, my question is, you don't have any detectors now. How many people are walking in there concealed? Who knows? It's unknown. The next factor is, I don't know why the judge is so shook up about emotional cases. We've had emotional cases since time began. And how many people have we had injured and or killed in any of our county buildings in the last 50 years? Why would we spend millions of dollars on something that doesn't appear to me to be a problem? I'll hang up and enjoy your answer.
Well, I'd like to think you'll enjoy my answer, but the history shows across the state that when there have been shootings in county courthouses, and there haven't been, the claim, I think, by proponents of this is not that they're happening every day or that they're huge numbers, but that it's something worth preventing. And again, historically, when there have been acts of violence in county courthouses across the state over the years, that has occurred in domestic cases. That's just a fact. Can't quote you a number. But the perspective of the chief judge is if it happens even one time in this county or somewhere else, then it's, you know, one time too many. And so that's what's driving this.
I would add also that Judge Wilson has mentioned that he's received two different death threats due to his work as a judge in some of the contentious family issue disputes. And that was one thing he'd mentioned to us.
And I neglected to mention, and I shouldn't have, because there's concern also, obviously, for the safety of both the judges and court personnel. One thing that's been done independent of this, not waiting until July 1st, is providing additional security so that you one of the real weaknesses, I think, formerly in the security at the county courthouse was you could get into a judge's chambers unannounced by simply going up to their office and bypassing the court reporter. Well, now there's what they've done is they've installed the ability of the court reporter to control access to the judge's chambers, which makes sense.
And we have another caller. Caller, you are on.
Actually, it's a repeat caller because you've never announced that you can call once anyway. The answer to that deal about not happening very often, I don't know how many have happened in the entire state in the last 50 years, but I want to make one other point. Last year, we killed 462 people on the highways and byways of Kansas, and everybody says, ho-hum, 462 people. We kill one or two people in a courthouse, and we got to spend millions of dollars because some judge in Topeka or some judge in Manhattan is scared. If they're scared, they ought to get out of the judgeship.
Are you referring to traffic accidents, traffic fatalities?
Okay. We'll never know. But thank you, caller, again. Anybody who wants to call 75-537-1350. But getting back to what we were talking about, maybe what we were talking about in the first place about why this matters for the county is really you're talking about just from a liability standpoint when you're talking about what you want to do as far as concealed carry with employees and stuff like that.
That's true. That's a slightly different issue. And the reason it's became important is, as is often the case, the legislature passed a restriction on counties just this past summer, became effective in July, that forbids counties from restricting their employees' concealed carry. And they can no longer enact counties across the state can no longer enact a personnel policy that says when you're away from this building, you cannot, even though you're at work, you're out doing some kind of inspection or whatever regulatory activity you're engaged in, but you're doing on behalf of the county and you're away from your primary building that you're assigned during the day. The counties can no longer have a personnel policy that says during that time, you cannot carry a concealed weapon. And because they made that, because the legislature enacted that particular new legislation, it created a weird circumstance where counties are now exposed to liability if an employee is away from their primary building and engages in some kind of conduct that results in a lawsuit against them and the county does not have immunity. Whereas because of the way the statute is written, they can enjoys counties would still have immunity if that same incident happened inside a public building. Well, that's a distinction that obviously, from a point of view of logic, doesn't make a lot of sense. And so what the county commission has suggested is tweaking the statute to make sure that the immunity that counties currently enjoy if that incident happens inside a public building, they also have that immunity outside the public building because it's been taken away from them, the ability. Counties no longer have the ability to have a personnel policy because of that recent legislation that would restrict or forbid employees from carrying concealed away from their primary building. I know that's a lot of discussion over something that might not seem important, but it's really designed, the change the commission is asking for in this is simply to make it consistent. If you're going to have tort immunity, if you're going to have immunity from lawsuits, for activity inside, there's no reason not to have the immunity if the activity occurs outside the building.
All right, and it seems like everybody's all up and have had their coffee. I'm on cup five right now, so I'm ready to go. Caller, you are on In Focus.
Thank you so much. I'm going to change gears a little bit. I appreciate the information about the security around the county buildings.
But sure.
My question is regarding the parking around the Riley County Health Clinic. The commissioners acted fairly quickly last fall to restrict parking along those streets that have no curbing and cars are parking on the grass up right up next to the sidewalks that were just recently installed in that that flood control drainage area that was done so nicely a year and a half ago, or last, I guess it's been within the last 2 years. But this is a question for Councillor Holdman. I know we're waiting on, last time I checked with the city attorney's office, we're waiting on your office to communicate with the attorneys of the city to clarify language that would be put on the signage and also the authority to enforce. I know you were out of the office for some time in the last month and a half, but I wonder if we can get this done quickly so we can get those signs installed to restrict parking that's just tearing up their parking on the hillside, on the ditch side, tearing up the grass, making ruts. That nice grass that was there is now, you know, bare soil and ruts. And with spring rains coming, I think it's a lot of this is student parking in that area. And they, it just, it's turning into, it was a beautiful grassy area, is turning into a real eyesore, and you know, causing, it's going to be causing more erosion with the grass being torn up and ruts established there. So I just wonder if we could get that issue resolved so we can get signage put up.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I have been in contact with the city, and we'll continue that and try and answer their questions. They raised a couple of issues that are just going to take a little bit of time to resolve. And as soon as we do that, I think we'll be able to move forward with it.
All right. Now, with that, let's go ahead and go to just our second break. We've had so much good discussion. Can't believe we've only had two breaks. So we'll come right back, talk more county right here on In Focus.